Linda and I are just more than thrilled to be with you all today. And I don't want us to miss what was going on during this service. The Spirit of God was communicating, and we need to have ears to hear what He was saying. This is a big deal. It's not like, oh, well, that's over, now we just whatever. No, God is here. The Holy Spirit of the living God is here. He has been speaking. Have you been listening? He has really been speaking. And He has really been calling. When He calls, we don't go, oh, well, we go, I'm listening. That's the response of people when their Creator calls. And so I want to respond to Him. And I'm begging you to want to respond to Him. And so what we're going to do as we dive into the Scripture is a response to Him, but it's also a continuation of hearing His call. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father's Day is a wonderful day, and not to diminish or take anything away. I've got 15 kids, so I get it, right? I get it, you know. However, listen, here's the deal. The rest of the day is out there. Let's not be living out there when we've got right here, right now. I want right now. This is an amazing thing when the people of God assemble to worship and to hear the words of God. This is a big deal. And some of you are in Christ. Some of you are in, but some of you are on the outside looking in. And some of you know you're on the outside looking in. Others are on the outside looking in, and you don't even know you're on the outside. You're thinking you're on the inside, but you're not. So we need to listen. Please, with that in mind, you have notes, and we are going to read through this passage in Romans 5. And I want to beg you and entreat you, and I know your pastor, Tom, he and I are friends, and I know he would say amen to this before he even says amen to this. He doesn't even have to say it out loud because I know it's in his heart. How's that for pressure? This passage, Romans chapter 5, you want to learn to live there. You want that to be like a regular cottage you go into and dwell there and live there, because Romans 5 is life to you. I don't care whether you're outside looking in or inside for years. You must learn to live in this chapter. So we're going to read much of it, not all of it. We are going to read, you're going to read silently while I read out loud verses 1 and 2, verses 6 to 10, and verses 15 to 19. And then we are going to pray and ask God to please keep calling and speaking to us. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just read silently, but read intently. Don't let your mind wander, please. Be following along. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now, before we pray, I hope you have a pen or something to write with, because I'm going to ask you to circle some words, okay? If you don't have a pen, I have one, and I will loan it to somebody. Would anybody like to borrow this pen? You're welcome to borrow it, but you better give it back. No, I'm kidding. You can keep it if you want, okay? All right. I don't want to cause too much of a distraction here. There, some pens are coming if you would like to have one. And I'm doing this because I want you to take this passage home, and I want you to get alone in your bedroom or alone in a living room, and I want you to sit with it, and I want you to go through this because here's what happens. You come to church, you hear the message preached, you go home and forget about it. The reason you have these notes in your hand is because I don't want you to go forget about it. It has nothing, very little to do with what I say and everything to do with what this passage says to you. This is God, the God of the universe, speaking. These are his words. Who cares about man's words? These are God's words. So here's what I want you to circle. Verse 1. Justified. Top line, justified. Go down to like the second paragraph, and you go the middle of the paragraph, verse 9, much more having now been justified. Circle that. Then go down to verse 15, the third paragraph, the free gift. Circle gift. The next line, much more the grace of God and the gift. Circle gift. The next line, verse 16, and the gift. Circle gift. Then skip a line and go down where it says condemnation, but the free gift, circle gift. And then it comes down to the next line, resulted in justification, right before the number 17, justification. Then come down to the next line, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift, circle gift. And then come down to the next paragraph, verse 18, second line, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift, circle gift. And the next line, resulting in justification, circle justification. Now, go home and study. How about that?
Amen.
Tom, that was a little off. That was so.
Opportunity.
Oh. Let me get everybody's eyes for just a moment. Listen, there's no difference here. We are all, every single one of us, in one degree or another, messed up. And me included. We're just people. We're just people, and we're trying, and we've got messed up stuff in the past. We're living with some messed up things now, and we need God, every one of us. So I'm pleading with you that these are words that can bring life into the messed up stuff and free, and bring liberty and freedom. And that's all I want to accomplish through this morning. So let's bow our heads. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you have already been speaking to us, and I pray in your holy name that you would continue, that you would make your voice very clear, like a beautiful trumpet sound to us that calls our attention and makes your words clear, not fuzzy, but clear. Holy Spirit, we need you to just illuminate these words like they were neon signs flashing, and we go, oh, I see that. We need you, Holy Spirit. We can't get this with our own understanding. And so we won't. We won't try. We'll trust in you with all our heart. Speak to us through your word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen. Now, so when I was here last time, I spoke on this topic and I did part one. So I'm going to review part one and jump to part two. If you were not here last time, you have somewhere in the archives, maybe. Yep, part one. And you can access that. But right now, I want to, let's review. The first question that you have there in the notes is, what's the big deal about justification? And just a couple little points I want to review. Wayne Grudem said this, and this you might want to underline. A right understanding of justification is absolutely crucial to the whole Christian faith. So, and he's right. He's absolutely right. The scripture teaches that. And Wayne Grudem's a theologian, and he's right. You must have a right understanding of justification by faith. You must. If you're going to live the Christian life, you've got to have this. It's not only like the basic and the foundation, it's the thing that is the advanced stuff too. I mean, justification is the beginning, it's the middle, it's the end. It's, you've got to have it. So next, he says at the end of that paragraph, even today, a true view of justification is the dividing line between the biblical gospel of salvation by faith alone and all false gospels of salvation based on works. We are out there all the time, Linda and I and our teams that go out preaching the gospel, and the false gospels are abounding everywhere. And the false gospels basically is this: here's God, and we've got to do, and maybe do enough where he'll finally say, okay, now you can come. That's the false gospels. The true gospel is this: here's God, here we are, and we give up knowing that we could never do enough, and we see the cross, and we see Jesus hanging there bleeding death for us, and all we do is fall. That's it. That's our job. And he comes and picks us up, and we say, Jesus, my life's a mess. I have sinned. Forgive me. And because he died for us, he forgives us. And then God says, based on that, come in. That's it. That's the dividing line. And that's what justification is about. Next line, Martin Luther says, justification is the test of a standing or falling church. And then he says, the doctrine of justification must be learned diligently. Diligently. So, dear one, I want to ask you, let a big part of the ambition of your life to learn and keep learning and plumbing the depths of this word and of this doctrine, justification. Right, so still doing review here. We go to the context of justification. And man is without strength in sin and at war with God. And if you remember, we had three people stand up here and we showed in verse 6 that we were without strength. We were like this. We had nothing, no ability. And you've got to see, we had no ability to reach to God. We're like this. And we saw in verse 8 that we were still sinners when Christ died for us. So we're like this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have said, I'll do it my way. And that's what we do. That's what sin is. I'll go my way. So we're without strength. We're in sin. And then verse 10 says, while we were enemies, we weren't only without strength in sin, we were fighting against God. And some of you are still fighting against God today. And God counts you as his enemy. But while without strength and while sinners and while enemy, Christ died for us. Then, who ever heard of something like that? And it even says here, sometimes, very rarely in history, somebody will give up their life for somebody that they consider virtuous or good. But never this. Never for people who are like this. So that's part of the context. And then under wrath. So it's not just those things, but while we were under wrath. So look at verse 36, chapter 3, John 3, 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on the unbeliever today. Not that he will get wrath, but the wrath is already there. And when he dies, if he does not humble himself and turn to Christ, that wrath will consume him. And his ultimate destination from that wrath will be the eternal flames of hell. And I didn't read this one last time, but I want to read it. Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 to 3 and verses 6 to 8 to illustrate this thing that we don't like to consider too much, but it is so, so pivotal to the understanding of justification. God is jealous. Let these words impact you. And the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. We like the world tells us God is just lovey-dovey about everything. Do whatever you want. And God says, oh, the scripture says God is furious against sin. You've got to get it. You've got to see this if you're going to appreciate the glory of justification. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm and the clouds and the dust of his feet. Who can stand? Who can stand before his indignation? And who can endure the fierceness of his anger? The day is coming. Jesus came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He's coming back the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to execute the vengeance of Almighty God on all sinners. And he will do that. And who will be able to stand in that day? Only those who have been justified. And that's why you must get this. Are you justified? Are you born anew? Are you in Christ or are you not? And see, if you're unsure, then you should be running somewhere and falling flat and saying, God, I've got to be sure, instead of being come see, come saw, que sera, sera. Too many people are like, well, yeah. This is everything. 100 years from now, where are you going to be? Justification is everything about where you're going to be 100 years and 1,000 years and 1,000,000 years from now. Okay, so the next is God's intervention, still reviewing.
if God does not intervene because of the wrath of God that's hanging over every single sinner who is unable to get to God on his own because he's without strength, he's a sinner and he's an enemy, if God doesn't intervene, we're toast, literally, burnt toast. But God intervenes, thank God. And so we have in Ephesians 2:4, after listening to verses 1 to 3, you were dead in sins and trespasses in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in us as we are children of wrath. But then it says this, but God showed his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Okay, look at me, please. Has that happened to you or has it not? Have you been made alive in Christ? Do you have testimony in your own soul that the living God came through Christ and brought you to life so that now you're a different person? You either do or you don't. There's no in between here. Either this has happened to you or it hasn't. If it has, rejoice. Like our dear sister up here rejoicing in gratitude this morning. But if it hasn't, then flee from where you are to this. He is rich in mercy, great love, to bring us out of death into life. Now, so he justifies me, those who fall at the cross of Christ, he justifies us by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So review is done, and now we're at Roman numeral 4, the definition of justification. So what does this justification mean after all? For the one who comes to Christ, for the sinner who comes to the cross and says, I'm a sinner, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can do nothing. I have mercy on me. Save me. And Jesus saves him. What does that look like? What actually happens? And this is where we get to the definition of justification, which is so beautiful. And it's beautiful because it is an objective reality. It is not subjective. Subjective means something I might feel one day and not feel another day. Objective means it is an outside of you absolute fact. And so this is a courtroom activity. This is a legal activity. And here's what it means. I want you to read it out loud with me, the definition. The legal and formal, okay, so it's not only legal, it's formal acquittal. Who knows what it means to be acquitted? What does it mean? You're not guilty. You're acquitted for all your crimes. The judge says, nope. Crimes are forgiven. You're acquitted. Keep going. Legal and formal acquittal from guilt by God. Now, if God does the acquitting, who can oppose that? So it's by God as judge, and then here's the glory, the pronouncement of the sinner as righteous who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is absolutely amazing. So there you are in the courtroom. If you have been justified. Have you been? Have you been? Or have you not been? If you're not sure, then you probably haven't been. But if you have been, there you are in the courtroom. Guilty as guilty can be. How many sins you got in your life up to this point? Just today. Think.
every bad thought, every bad word, every bad action, everything, every day that you live not loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, every day that you spent not adoring this book and being in this book, every day you spent not fully, 100% loving people around you more than you love yourself. Sin. How much sin you got? I bet I got more. And there you are in the courtroom of Almighty God. This is our gospel. There you are in the courtroom. There you are. And all your sins laid out. And the judge, in a sense, what do you have to say for yourself, Chris Peeler? And I say, one thing, judge. Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I believe. And I believe he rose from the dead. And God, the judge, smiles and he says, welcome, son. And God the judge goes back to that moment when I believed and reminds me that at that moment the gavel of the judge of heaven came down and he said, sins forgiven and gift of righteousness placed on. You are not only no longer guilty of sin, but I see you as living a perfectly righteous life. Every moment of your life lived beautifully and perfectly and righteously. And I'm like, what? This is justification. It is scandalous. How can people who know me say, no, that can't be? And I say, oh, yes, it is. Because God says it is. Because of justification. In the courtroom of Almighty God, I have been pronounced innocent and righteous because of the work of someone else other than me, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Has that been your experience or has it not? So, this has nothing to do with my goodness. It has nothing to do with what I have done. And now I want to give you some key scriptures to kind of illustrate this so you can study them and they will be edification. Let's fly through these key scriptures on justification. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, and you want to circle every time you see justified. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified, which means declared not guilty and declared righteous. No flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All we have, if we are not justified by grace, by what Christ did, is a bunch, huge, huge pile of sin to present to God on judgment day. And don't think for a moment that God will not take vengeance and pour out his wrath on that sin. He will. But the glory for the one who has been justified is this. That big pile of sin, past, present, and future, God has poured out his wrath on that, on someone else who didn't deserve it, on Jesus Christ. He took the hit. How are y'all doing? We okay? Okay. Remember, the rest of the day's out there. Don't let your mind kind of stick here for now. 2 more hours and we'll be done. Okay. That means anything short of 2 hours, I'm good. Okay. Next scripture, Romans 3, verse 26. Jesus Christ. Now, he did it. The it means Jesus Christ died on the cross. He took our sins on the cross. He died with those sins and rose from the dead, putting those sins away. He did it to demonstrate. God the Father did this to his own Son to demonstrate his justice. What does justice mean? Let me ask you a question. If
somebody came into your, and I know several communities are represented here, right? But if somebody came into this area and raped 15 women, and they finally caught him, and you heard he went before the judge and said, "Judge, I'm sorry, please let me go," and the judge would let him go, how would you feel? You would say, justice was not done. God would never do anything without justice being done. He put his own son on the cross and judged him so that your sins would have to be paid for. Your crimes would receive justice. That's what this is saying. God would never relinquish justice. He is a judge. So he did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. It's a miracle. It's unthinkable how God established this plan. This is what it means to learn this doctrine diligently. Galatians 2:16. Remember, we're, or Romans 3:28, we're underlining or circled justified. For we maintain that a man is justified, declared not guilty, acquitted, declared righteous, is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. Every religion is saying, I've got to do to please God. Christianity, which is the only truth, says you could never please God. Have faith in the one who pleased him for you, and you will be justified. Have you done this? Or is there something in the back of your mind that is saying, I'm pretty good. I think God's pretty pleased with me. Because if that's the case, you're probably not justified. You are basing your life on what you've done. And I can tell you this, and I tell you this with a heart of love, but also a heart that wants to be very crystal clear. Based on what you've done, eternal judgment is coming for you. That's the only thing you have earned for yourself. But what he did earned you glorious, glorious forgiveness and a home in heaven forever. And this next verse just says it so clearly. Galatians 2:16. Know that a man is not, here we go, circle, right? Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So, we too, having put our faith or our trust in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Justified, justified, justified. Justified, not justified. Not justified, justified. You think God's trying to be really clear with us here? This is objective reality. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, I want to talk about the gift. I want to talk about the gift. The gift is so amazing. Look back at your passage, please, on page 1. And I want you to start with me in verse 15 and go through verse 18. And I want you to understand, please, in those few verses, in those four verses, 15, 16, 17, 18, four verses, gift is given to us six times, the word gift. This is like power packed. God's saying, gift, 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 gift. Get it. Understand gift. And so you've underlined it. The free gift is not like the offense. The grace of God and the gift by the grace. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification, who receive abundance of grace and of the gift. And then in verse 18, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. Okay, look up here now. Now, if you're absolutely 100% certain that you know what the gift is, don't answer. But those who are kind of, I want you to try. Come on, what's the gift? What gift is he talking about? It's okay. It's all right. You can be wrong. Were you gonna say, I thought you were going to say something. Okay. Anybody? What's the gift?
Salvation.
Okay. Salvation is great, but that's not it. Faith is not it. Gift. What is the gift? What is the gift? Here, let me illustrate it this way. Let me illustrate it this way. Here is Judgment Day, and here is entrance into heaven, or being cast by the angels into the lake of fire. Every single human being, listen, the most important day of your life is going to be the day when you stand before God at the end. That's going to be it. You're going to stand before the living God on the day of judgment. Did you know that? And there you are. And here's what God says. If you have the gift, God sees it and he says, come in. If you don't have the gift, you not only don't get in, but you get cast into the lake of fire. Don't you want the gift? Don't you want the gift? Would you say the gift is pretty important? Would we agree? I've got to have, God, give me the gift. Now, what's the nature of a gift? A gift is, some of you dads will get gifts today. I hope I get some gifts. I like gifts. Do you like gifts? Oh, man, gifts. Because when you get a gift, it's not like you have to go run and do something to get it. It's just given to you. Yeah, that's a gift, give, give, gift. Gift is given. So do you want it? I want the gift. I want the gift. I want the gift. So this is the gift. I will not steal it. This is the gift. This is the gift. Okay. Here's the gift. Tom, stand. Pastor Tom, stand up here. You hold on to that. And I want you to offer, okay, watch this. I want you to offer me the gift. I don't want the gift. God, let me in. I don't get in without the gift. Now offer me the gift. Thank you for the gift. God, here's the gift. God says, come in because you have the gift. Don't you want the gift? Thank you. Thank you. You've got to understand the gift. If you're going to understand justification, you've got to understand the gift. The gift is a gift given freely to those who don't say, well, I've done this and this and this, so I've earned it, because gifts don't get given that way. The gift is given to the one who says, I have nothing, but thank you. That's how a gift is given. And here in this beautiful passage, in this beautiful chapter that is just flashing justification, is gift, 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 6 times. And the answer is right in front of our eyes. And some of you know it, but I'm going to show it to you now. After we go from 15, gift, 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 we get to verse 17, and I'm going to read slowly verse 17. And then I want you to tell me what the gift is. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace. Now that grace is God's unmerited favor. So the grace isn't the gift. The grace showers in the gift. But who receives abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. The humble sinner who comes to God and says, "Oh God, I am but a sinner. Have mercy on me." And God points that sinner to the cross, and that sinner's eyes are open to see the beauty, at the same time the horror, of God the Son being mutilated, bleeding, receiving upon himself all the judgment for his sins. And he sees it and he says, "God, your mercy poured out. I believe." At that moment, God looks on that sinner, raises him up, takes what is the quality of this gift? The gift was lived out by the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, from the time of his conception on through to his death. Jesus Christ not only died for you, Jesus Christ lived for you. He had nothing to prove. He was perfect. Perfect God, perfect man. He had nothing to prove. He didn't have to live a righteous life in order to commend himself to his Father. Jesus lived a righteous life for one reason. So at the end of his life, he would be able to take that righteous life, package it up as a gift, and give it freely to those who would come to him by faith, saying, "I'm a sinner, save me." And Jesus takes that cloak of righteousness, that garment of righteousness that he earned by his own life, and he says to the believer, "All your sins have been now taken away. You are not guilty of sinning. But in addition, here is my gift of righteousness. Now you stand absolutely 100% righteous. You're not only not guilty of your sins, you are righteous as if you had lived a perfect righteous life, because that righteousness is mine and I'm giving it to you as a gift." Amazing grace. Amazing grace. So you stand before God, if you were a believer in Christ, as one that God looks on and sees you in Christ and sees you as perfectly righteous. This is justification. And this is the mark of being a Christian. Is that you? And the person who has been saved like this then has a yearning and a desire to please and serve the one who saved him. Do you? Is your life, do you look inside and see that there's a motor running in there, a motor that's moving toward God, that's grateful to God, that wants to serve God? Because that's an indicator, that will not earn you anything, but it's an indicator that this has happened to you. Quickly, let's go to the next point. And the next point is, what are the results of justification? And the results of justification, number one, total forgiveness of all sins. In the scripture, in Psalm 103, we see he separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? The point is, it's infinite. Sin's gone. And the other scriptures say God blots our sins out of his book. Other scripture says he casts them and hurls them behind him so he sees them no more. Another one says he takes our sins and throws them into the depths of the sea where they are totally ever gone, out of sight, out of mind. sins are forgiven. Isn't that glorious? My sins are forgiven. I am forgiven. Past, present, future.
By the way, bookends here. Bookends. Romans 5:1, 5:1, 8:1. 5:1, having been justified by faith, I have peace with God. 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation and justification are legal terms of the time. They're objective legal. Oh, I feel condemned. That has nothing to do with this word condemnation. This word condemnation is a pronouncement of guilt on the criminal. No condemnation means there is no pronouncement of guilt because all the guilt has been taken away through justification. Romans 5:1, Romans 8:1, go home, think on it, meditate on it. What are the results of justification? Total forgiveness. Secondly, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God. That doesn't mean you'll always have the peace of God. This is a troubling world we live in. It's hard living with ourselves sometimes. Peace of God kind of fluctuates. God wants us to have the peace of God. Peace with God is different. Peace with God means this. While we were sinners, we were enemies. There was a war between us and God. Justification, coming to Christ, being justified, all the war is over. There is now peace. There is reconciliation. So peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Third thing that we get as a result of justification, access to grace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access to this grace in which we stand. Access, constant access to his favor. Grace, grace, grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. It's favor you don't deserve. God gives it to you based on what Jesus did, not what you did. So you look at God and you're guilty about what you've done, and God has grace for you because Jesus has borne your guilt. Man, I wish there was more time to talk about grace. There's not. The last thing that we want to say as a result of justification is hope. Access in this grace in which we now stand and rejoice in hope. Hope means the hope of eternal life. Not only do I have these gifts now, but I know 100, 200, 1,000, a billion years from now, I'm going to be living in heaven where there's total perfection. Now, I want to come in kind of for a landing on these two things, and I want to ask you the question, stick with me. Just hang in there. Just another couple minutes. Can you do it?
Can you do it.
Can you do it? Okay. Can you do it? Okay. How do I keep my justification? How do I stay justified? Man, it was so wonderful to come to Christ and feel this freedom and this forgiveness. But how do I keep it? How do I stay? I don't want to lose it. How do I keep it? Y'all are chicken. What did you say? I want you to try to answer the question. How do I keep my justification? How do I keep it? What if he decides not to keep it?
He's not gonna. He's not changing.
I think you could lose it. Okay, good, fight for it. That's what you need to do when the devil comes and taunts you and says, you're not justified anymore. Look at how you treated her today. Oh, no, and you fight for your justification. Because here's the deal about justification. Justification is a one-time thing. You come to Christ at the cross and God says you are justified. Who does that? You or God?
God.
All you. Your only part in this is to fall down. Just a boom. And God says justified. It's a one-time act. But here's the beautiful thing about the tense of this verb. Having therefore been justified. It's called the aorist tense in Greek.
And what it means is something that happens one time and lasts forever, and the benefits of it go on. So my justification is forever, and God did it. So I don't have to worry that back then I was better and I did something to make that happen. I did nothing. God did it. At the end, when Jesus Christ returns, if I'm in the grave or if I'm still alive, doesn't matter, when he returns, he will glorify me. I will get a new body if I'm in Christ. Are you in Christ? Because see, the call this morning before I ever got up to preach was this. Some of you are not in Christ. Some of you have not yielded your life. Some of you are trying to live a nice Eastern Shore life in the land of pleasant living. And your neighbors say he's a good guy, but you're not in Christ. You have not acknowledged just what a wretch you are and come and fallen at the cross. That was the call. The Spirit of God is calling some of you to get saved because you're not. But if you are, on that day, at the end when he comes back, I will be glorified. That means I will receive a new body, and it will be a perfect one. No blemishes, no pain, no sorrow. There will be no sickness. There will be no aging. No aging! And I will live in a land with other glorified people, so there'll be no conflict. Man, oh man, who does that? Now, picture, you're dead in the grave, ashes or bones or whatever. Who? How much do you have to do with that? This is going to be an amazing moment in history, folks. I mean, if you could be out there looking over graveyards and Jesus is coming back, what you would see is the ground splitting open and people who were dead in ashes and skeletons zooming up in flesh and up into the air. That'd be a great movie. No, it wouldn't be a great movie. Not a movie, it's a real event. God does the full justification. God does the full glorification. You got to get these words. You got to get them. They're not that hard, justification, glorification. But in the middle, between now and then, is this process called sanctification. And in sanctification, God is working in us, but we must cooperate with him. And that's where people get mixed up, thinking that they can lose their justification because maybe today it's not going so well in my growing in Christ and being sanctified. But sanctification is totally distinct from justification. On my good days of sanctification, I'm justified. And on my bad days of sanctification, I am justified. It never changes. So God keeps it for me. I don't have to keep it. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness. Now, so final question. Why focus on this again and again? Why do we keep focusing? Isn't it enough to say, okay, well, we've got that. Now let's get on to the real stuff. No, this is the real stuff. And speaking of gifts, I brought gifts about this so that it helps you keep focusing on this. And that's what these books are. C.J. Mahaney wrote The Cross-Centered Life, Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. And the main thing is your justification in Christ. Who would like to have it? You can't have it unless you commit to read it. But if you commit to read a small book, you may have it as a gift. Who would like to have it? Cross-centered life. It's a gift. No strings. Except you have to read it. I have another copy of The Cross-Centered Life as a gift. Who are you pointing? The other one is called Living the Cross-Centered Life. So you get that one. And you, now I'm being especially nice. Usually I throw these. So there you go. So it is. That's right. And I have one more copy of Living the Cross-Centered Life, which is kind of expanding the beauty of the cross-centered life. Would anybody like to have this? Okay. I'm going to answer this question and then We're going to answer this question, and then we're going to close. The reason we focus on this again and again and again is this. The truth of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, this truth is the pinnacle, the height of the glory of God in His grace. It is the essence of the message that we have to preach to people out there. It is a joyful message of good news to the sinner who will humble himself. It is great news. This is the one truth that your world around you needs. Other things might be a little bit helpful, but this is what they need. Not only must we know it with our minds, we must think on it, we must consider it, we must review it often. Learn to swim regularly in Romans chapter 5. We must rejoice in it so that we train ourselves to again and again stand in amazement by grace, so that when we sing Amazing Grace, we're amazed as we're singing Amazing Grace. Then our proclamation of this gospel to the lost will carry with it not mere words, but life that flows by the Spirit of God, as it were, out of our bellies, because this is just so alive in us. That's why we need to stay focused on it. You've heard of the story of the woman who went into the Bible class and taking the final exam? If you have, it's good to hear again. She was cramming and went in ahead of time and sitting there, and the other students were there, and this was a big final exam. And the teacher comes in and he says, not only are you responsible for what I gave you on the review package material, whatever, but you understand, I hope, that you're responsible for everything in the whole course. And it was like tremors. And of course, we understand that, but man, we were hoping that we got the review stuff down. And he said, don't turn it over till I say turn it over. And he distributes the tests, and it's got a number of pages. And he says, okay, turn it over. And she turns it over. And there on the top of the test is a giant red A. She looks down page after page after page after page, and all the answers are given and written perfectly to answer the questions on the final exam. And he says to the students, what grade did you get on your final exam? And the answer was an A. And he said, what did you do to get that A? No amount of study or anything you did. You did nothing. And he said this, the reason you got the A is this. The creator of the test took the test for you. That's why you got an A. Beloved, the creator of the test of life has come and taken the test. And he got a perfect grade. And for those who will humble themselves before that cross of Christ, he says, here's my gift. My gift is you get my grade. You get the A. Justification. One final plea. If you don't know you are justified, and you don't know that you've gotten the Creator's A, Don't leave this building today without getting saved. Tom.
We've been talking about the same topic for months and months now, and when Chris came to me and explained what he was going to be speaking about the first time and breaking it into two parts, I could just see how God was just using this to encapsulate everything we've been talking about in Galatians and all that. So, you know, Peter says, I believe it's good for me to repeat myself so that we can keep hearing these things over and over again so that when another test comes your way, you can answer it. You know, we all have opportunities where Jehovah's Witnesses knock on our door. We have opportunities where we interact at work with people who are Indian or, you know, Buddhist or all these different things. And people are going to come to you and say, well, it's all the same thing. It's all the same God. Why are you so bigoted to think that your God is any better than my God? And now we can go to them and say, because my God did this. What has your God done beside ask you to do and do and do and scrape and try to do this? And we can say, look at the grace that's offered as a free gift to you, the opportunity to be called righteous and be made justified by no measure of your own strength. So man, when Chris says, focus on this and memorize this, and we've been going through this for several weeks now in Galatians, man, this is what it's all about, because it can... It should pervade every single aspect of your life, wherever you are and wherever you go, to be able to give that answer for the faith that you have. And this is where it all lands. This is what it's all about. So for those who are here today, I pray that, man, that this will just find just concrete home in your heart, that this will just continue to solidify and gird you up, and that the truth of the gospel will be something that's not only just rock solid in your heart, but something that, as Chris said at the end, overflows, that it's just natural and it just comes forth, that we can just, you know, just like that spring of living water that was promised to those who would call upon him, that it would just gush forth in us. And I'm going to extend the same thing that he just said. If you don't know, you're not sure that you've been justified, man, don't leave. Please don't leave this place. I don't care if you've been coming here for 30 years or 3 days. If you don't know, you need that assurance, because that test that professor gave, that was scheduled, that was something that was planned, and it was on the books. They knew it was coming. We don't know. We don't know when we're going to stand before the judge of the universe. And I'm not going to give you could walk out the door and get hit by a bus. If there's a bus in our parking lot, that's kind of odd. But we just don't know. No man is promised tomorrow. Every breath that we have is an absolute gift of grace from God. And every moment that we're alive apart from salvation by grace through faith in Christ is a gift of God. It shows just how long-suffering and patient he is with sinners. So you don't know when that test is going to be handed to you. So please don't leave today. Please don't leave without talking to myself or one of the elders or Pastor Chris or anybody in this room who knows what justification is, because nothing else matters. Man, Father's Day dinner is going to be there waiting for you, and whatever gifts your kids get you is going to be waiting for you, and work tomorrow is waiting for you. You don't know what's outside of that. So please don't leave today. I want to pray with you guys before we depart, but please, Chris has gotten down on his knees before you before. My knees are really sore from camping this weekend, so picture me on my knees right now pleading with you guys as we close in prayer together. Precious God, thank you for the free gift of grace. God, thank you for the grace in which I stand. God, I should be groveling before you. But I have confidence in the solid truth that I have therefore been justified by the blood of the one who came to live perfectly and die sacrificially and raise victoriously over death for me. The one who loved me and gave himself for me. So God, I can stand before you. God, but I know, God, by your Spirit's testimony today, that there are folks here who don't know you that way, who you don't know. And that's terrifying, God. So, Father, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would give the gift of faith today. Open their eyes and ears and their hearts to see their desperate need of you. God, and let them humble themselves and fall before you. God, to receive life, true life, abundant life, apart from their own works, God, this gift that you're offering, Lord, let them receive it today. God, just give boldness. Give boldness, Lord, to forsake the world and what people might think or what people might say, but to know what you will say and what you have said about them, Lord, that if they would call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Father, just pour out mercy today. God, your word says today is the day of salvation. Let that strike true for many in this room, Lord. God, I thank you so much for my brother who speaks so powerfully and clearly the truth of your word. God, not only for those who don't know you, but for we who are in Christ. God, thank you for the reminder and the encouragement. God, to hold fast to that, to know it deeply and search it out diligently, Lord, that we might just overflow with that truth. God, we thank you for this day. Lord, this is a divine appointment. You have ordained everything about this day, Lord. May we just continue to humble ourselves to see you move in and through us, God. Father, we should just submit every part of ourselves to you that your glory might be seen